I'm gonna get up out of the ground, cause there ain't no rain. Gonna hold this body down.
Hey, welcome to Damascus Road. I just really feel like God's wanting to do something special today in our church, in our lives. And ain't no grave. Russ Taft, that's the guy that was singing on that. He came from an old kind of gospel group, and then, but man, he's one of the best singers I've ever heard, actually. And he sings with more passion than I could ever hope to have. You know, in his little finger, I think he can do that. Love, ain't no grave going to hold this body down. Hey, if you're new here, how many of you got one of these good-looking little cards that says Damascus Road International Church? Did you get one? If you're new, is there anyone that didn't get one when you came in? Okay, I'll tell you what, we'd love to have you fill these out. You know why? You want to really know why?
Yes.
I'm not telling you why. No. It's because we have these email lists that we sell to all these spammers and we make all kinds of money. No. It's because we want to be able to contact you and let you know what's going on here. Okay? So if you'd like to know more about Damascus Road, if you have a prayer need, if you need a call from one of us just to talk to you about something, that's how we find out. You put it on here. And be sure, and if you don't have time to put it in the offering, when it goes around, sometimes you go, oh, I didn't get it done. Well, give it to one of us before you leave. Would you do that? It'd be nice to do that. So thank you ahead of time. New beginnings. If you are a new believer, if you don't know what this Christian thing is about, you'd like to know a little more about it, not sure, but you want to check it out, come to it. It begins October 9th. It's free. You even get a little booklet that our friendly servant Celine in the back has put together for us and printed up. And you just learn in 4 weeks, we just cram some basics of what God says about our life and what he did for us, that sort of thing. So you come, you got questions, no ignorant questions, no question is bad. You can ask anything you want. So come and check that out. But you have to sign up. We have to know you're going to come, and it's in the back because we have to print up the forms. That relationship seminar, a friend of ours, Richard Savenbergen, he's actually from Delft, but he's a Brazilian missionary. He's going to be here next week, and we've known this guy for years. He's a good guy. He's going to be speaking next Sunday, but that seminar in the afternoon, if you are married and have family, it's for you. If you're single, and how many of you, one of these days, you think maybe you would like to be married? Yeah, come on. Gee, it's not a trick question, okay? No, it's not. Then you need to come. How many like the idea of sex? Yeah, I thought so. Boom. There's the bomb. Come check it out. Let's get God's view on it, okay? Some of you go, well, I'm not talking about that. Yeah, right. Okay, we know what you're thinking about. So, come check it out. That's just one of the things. Roles in marriage. How to find the right one. We believe God has someone out there for each of us. Come check it out and see. It's free again. But next week, we're going to have what we call Super Sunday. We worked a deal with Stay Okay. And they're going to have a whole, like, sandwich bar thing out there and soup. And for €5, come on. You can't sneeze in Maastricht for €5. So we're going to do that. The idea is hang out. Even if you're not going to come to the seminar, hang out. But the idea is you'll want to stay and come to the seminar, right? But we know you're hungry. Your stomach starts to growl about now. If you listen closely, you can hear them. And then, that's not children, that's stomachs. And so next week, you'll want to stick around after that for the seminar. But at least stick around for the food. And last Tuesday night, how many of you know what I'm talking about when I talk about Tuesday's prayer and fasting, September month of Tuesdays we did that? Okay, last week, Tuesday was the last week for the month, September, every Tuesday. And we met at the church office last Tuesday night. Some of us came together, about 20, I suppose. I don't know. I didn't count. But and praying and listening to what was God saying to us. How many of you believe that God actually wants to talk to you? I hope he does. If you're listening and you allow that, He wants to show up and he wants to communicate with us. That's a great part of being a Christian. It allows us to hear and to pray and to talk. That's all it means, to talk to God. So last Tuesday we met and different people shared about the different things. And so if you weren't there, you missed out. But if you did that and you felt God sharing something that you would like to pass on to us as a church, because it's important, what God speaks to you is important to us, then send something to info@DamascusRoadIC.com or me, Kent@DamascusRoadIC.com. It doesn't matter. Because we'd like to know, what is God speaking to you? And prayer is important to us at Damascus Road. It is. Prayer, we're just going to turn the heat up on that. Prayer is important. Without prayer, things don't happen. If we don't, He won't. God depends on our prayers. And we believe that God wants to use you to be a part. You can change a world by your prayers. You can change cancer. We heard what happened in Matthew Solomon's mom. God can heal cancer. I'm believing that for my sister Barbara, stage 4 lung cancer. If God can heal Matthew's mom, He can heal my sister. Amen? What God does for one, He can do again and for another. But we need to pray and believe that God can do these things. You never know when something's going to hit at your doorstep and you're going to say, man, I need a miracle. Well, then pray for other miracles. Pray for other people's miracles. If you want a miracle for your life, invest, right? Invest and see what God can do. All right. Whew, I'm out of breath. That's not even the sermon, but you feel like you've been there already. But Titus 2:11-15. Let's pray. Father, I just ask that your anointing would be in this service. Father, we know you're already here. We know, Father, by your presence, God, we could feel your presence here. And we love that, God, that you let us know when you're here, that your presence is about us. And we thank you for that, God. Now we ask that you just continue that. And you do work in our lives, God. I thank you, Jesus. None of us has arrived. None of us is perfect. None of us has it all together. None of us has all the answers. But Lord Jesus, we know that you are here to guide us. You are here to show us. You are here to love us. And you would said you would never leave us alone. You'd never abandon us, God, and that you want to do things through our life. Thank you, Jesus, that you count us worthy of this gospel peace that you've entrusted to us to share with this world. Thank you for the power of life that's in your name. Thank you for the power of prayer that we can enact when we pray and seek your heart and face. We know that, God, you can heal from cancer. You can move a mountain. You can change the scene. And we thank you for it all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Titus 2:11-15, says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. We're talking about Jesus. Jesus is the living, walking grace that God provided for us as a way out of our sin. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. That's kind of a tough order, isn't it, sometimes? The age we live in, is easy to fall in line with all the stuff. It's so easy. That's a no-brainer to do that. Anyone can fit in. But to fit out? Today we're talking about thinking inside the box. There are some things that God says, many. This is it. This is the way it is. Truth. Truth doesn't change. Truth is. So today we're talking about another truth that cannot be changed. It is fixed. Upright godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope. You know, some people interpret blessed, happy, joyful. There is a hope we have that should put a smile on our face. It should put a quickening in our heart. It should give us hope when we're in despair. When we see a cloud overhead, we can see light on the other side. And this is the hope he's talking about. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is not just Savior, he is God. Now, this is a problem for some people and many religions that would disagree with that. Jesus is the God-man. He's the man that is all God, that came to become man, to suffer what we suffer so that all things could be complete on the cross. That he could say, no, I covered it all because I know they're helpless. But I'll become like them, that I may have victory for them, that they therefore may also have victory through me and what I did. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. I think there's one more, huh? Okay, I guess not. That's the end. Thank you. I thought there was another part. So this blessed hope is the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. A joyful hope. The power of the gospel message of Jesus hinges on this great truth, that he is God. That Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. And I don't know about you, but I needed that. And I still need that. And he came to save us. For what? Why do I need Jesus? Why did he have to come? What was the purpose of that? You know, all along from the beginning of creation, it has always been God's design desire to have communion or fellowship with his creation, actually us, with his children. And, you know, no parent in their right mind wants to be apart, separate from their children. That's why divorce is such a nasty thing. Because it causes, if there's kids, someone's got to get them. Another one maybe sees them occasionally, you know, that kind of thing. But no parent in their right mind, I have to qualify that, wants to be apart from their kids. And there's no kid in their right mind that would choose to be apart from their parents. That's just a natural thing. Should it be any different for a father in heaven that says, I want to be connected to I want to see my family. I want to be with my kids. I want to spend time with them. So it's not inappropriate to think that about God. You know, the old adage that I don't know, maybe it's an American one, that blood is thicker than water. Well, there's some truth to that. When we ask Jesus to forgive us and to live in us and through us, we sort of get a transfusion, figuratively speaking, a blood transfusion. Because he washes over us with his blood and he takes away all the impurity from ours. He like filters us, you know. He takes it away, all of our past, all that stuff. And Jesus says, my blood covers you and washes away all sin, all unrighteousness. Makes us like that little baby that's so perfect and fresh that comes out of a mother's womb when he's born, you know. Perfect, right? Skin perfect, all those kinds of things. You never look at a baby and say, there's a drug addict. No, you look at a baby and say, man, what a creation, what a perfect little thing. And so his blood washes away all that when we're born again as a new life in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17 if you like to take notes. By the way, we do have Bibles in the back. You don't own a Bible, you like one? €5, cheap. They're in English because we do things in English, so it makes sense. So it's by his blood that we can be saved. And if you've been here any time at all, you hear us speak about the need for us to get active as his servants, you know. He hasn't saved us just to kind of hang out and tread water and, you know, waiting for something good to happen. He's called us to be active, that each one is gifted to do something, to be a servant for his kingdom. You're valuable. You're not only acceptable and forgiven, but you're valuable as a tool that God says, look, well, more than a tool. I don't want to make it sound like you're just, you know, throw it away when you're like a screwdriver. But you're valuable to him, and you have a purpose and place in his kingdom that only you can fill because God created you for that. So if you've been around any time at all, you hear that sort of thing. The Bible actually commands us to bear fruit because there's something bigger than just hanging out. And he talks about fruit that will last. What are we talking about? We're not talking about pears. We're talking about souls. What really can you take to heaven? You're not taking your jeans. You're not taking your favorite shirt. You're not even taking your little puppy, you know, whatever. You're taking you and others around you. Fruit that will last. The people that we are able to share the gospel with. So today we're going to be talking about a mystery. Anybody like Sherlock Holmes? Ooh, I like that. I like stuff like that. I like to try to figure stuff out, you know. There was an old movie with Mel Gibson, believe it or not, Conspiracy Theory. Didn't you see that? It's one of my all-time favorite movies. I just love the way the plot weaves through there. So today we're going to be talking about a mystery because it is a mystery because we know it is a truth, but just how the Lord's going to pull it off is like, how does that work, God? It's a mystery. I don't know, Lord. I know you said it, but it doesn't make sense to me. But God's ways are a little higher than ours, right? So no, it doesn't matter that we totally know how it happens as much as we believe that what he said is true and it will happen. Just like to believe that someone comes up, and we'll do this at the end. I love to do it because I love people to come to Christ, to really be forgiven, to walk out of here going, whew, man, God loves me. And we'll be praying for people, you know, at the end. And I don't understand how that works. We pray words and we believe in our heart. And Jesus says, if you say these things with your own mouth and you believe with all your heart, I'm going to come in. I'm going to be your Lord and Savior. I'm going to come in and settle in your heart. I'm going to deposit my spirit there. Now, how that happens, I don't know. I just know it does. It's a bit of a mystery, but I know that's what he does. I can know that's true because he's done it in my life, and I've seen him do it in many of your lives. I know it's going to happen. There are many, many things this side of heaven that we're never going to understand until we see him face to face and are in his presence, and it's all going to come together and make sense. Have you ever been at one of those carnival affair of a caramus, a circus? Have you ever been to one of those places and stand in front of those mirrors that are like make you look really, really fat or really skinny or all twisted and weird and your nose is over here and you're, you know, that kind of thing? I have one of those mirrors at home. I think I always look in that mirror. Mine's my nose now. But it always distorts the way we don't. You look at that. If you were to look in that mirror and say, that's me, and you really believed it, that would be pretty depressing, I think. But the Bible says now we kind of, that's the way we understand things. It's surreal to us. It doesn't make sense. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, it says, now we see things imperfectly. This is New Living Translation. Like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial, it's incomplete, but then I will know everything completely. Just as God knows me completely. See, God knows all about us. There's no hiding from God. I mean, you can pretend, but God already knows you completely. And we don't understand how God's going to do certain things, but the Bible says one day we're going to be able to sit there and go, oh, when we get in his presence forever, we're going to be saying, that's what you meant. That's how that works. You know, and there are things I don't understand. I mean, I pray for people, and I've seen them die. I go, hey, God, you said your word. You heal. But I've also prayed for people, and I've seen them healed. Now, how that all works, I know that God wants to heal. That's not an issue. And we see things around us. We go, how does this work? And we don't understand this side of heaven. But you know what? I'm not going to blame God. Because I know God has it all together, and I don't. All I know is God said, pray for the sick, they will recover. So I'm going to continue to pray for people. I had someone come up to me, Abilasha Law, in the back a while ago while I was standing back there. And she says, you know, 2 weeks ago you prayed for my shoulder and it's all healed. Thank you for telling me that. I need to know occasionally that something happens. Just like Matthew Solomon and his mom. We need to hear because God needs to reinforce it. Look, keep it up. Keep it up. One day you'll understand, but you don't now. Just keep doing what I told you to do. Keep putting one foot forward and keep moving on for me because I am truth and I will do what I said I will do. You know, I don't claim to be an expert, you know, about prophetic events, the book of Revelation and you know. But I'll tell you something. To avoid the topic of the blessed hope that we have in Christ, is that's one of the principal outcomes of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we got to talk about. So what is this mystery that Paul is referring to? Anyone here ever thought about death? Yeah. It's kind of spooky. Did anyone here, when you walk through a graveyard, a Begravenplatz, when you walk through there, does anyone kind of go, this is like, and maybe I'm weird. I like to go through them. Do you watch where you step? Some of you are like, whoa, I just stepped on Aunt Nancy. You know, but I like to go to graveyards and read what it says about people. But it can be a little eerie for some people, I think. You know, I was talking to my sister, stage 4 lung cancer. Actually, I wasn't talking with her, but my other sister had, and she told me, she goes, well, Barbara is really afraid to die. And I can understand that. She's a new believer, doesn't totally understand. Because death seems so final, doesn't it? I mean, it's a little freaky. If you've been at funerals, you know, where the person's laying there, and you're looking at them, and sometimes people lean over and kiss you know, whatever kind of makes you feel, that's kind of strange to me. But you see that, you know, that could be me. Do you ever think of yourself like that? It's a little strange. 1 Corinthians 15:50-57, this is out of the Message. It says, I need to emphasize, friends, that our natural earthly lives don't in themselves lead us by their very nature into the kingdom of God. Their very nature is to die. You know, this may sound like a revelation. I'm much older than I was when I was 16. I don't mean just numerically, but your body ages. We're all in the process of dying. It's just that your body rebuilds the cells. The person that you were at 10 is not the same person you are today. Many, many times over, those cells have replicated themselves. That's the image looks the same, but it's not the same. It says their very nature is to die. So how could they naturally end up in the life kingdom? But let me tell you something wonderful. That's pretty cool. A mystery. I'll probably never fully understand. We're not all going to die, but we are all going to be changed. You hear a blast to end all blasts from a trumpet. And in the time that you look up and blink your eyes, it's over. You know that Dutch term, have you heard? An ogenblik, alsjeblieft. Ogenblik, I blink. Wait just a second, you know, kind of thing. That's what it is. In a blink of an eye, it's over. On signal from that trumpet from heaven, the dead will be up out of their graves. Ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. Beyond the reach of death, never to die again. I think you got more, right? At the same moment and in the same way, we'll all be changed in the resurrection scheme of things. This has to happen. Everything perishable taken off the shelves and replaced by the imperishable. This mortal replaced by the immortal. Then the saying will come true. Death swallowed up by a triumphant life. Who got the last word, O death? O death, who's afraid of you now? Next. It was sin that made death so frightening, and law code guilt that gave sin its leverage, its destructive power. Sin is destructive, folks. No way around it. But now in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, death, are gone. The gift of our Master, Jesus Christ, thank God. Wow. Are there any perks to believing in Jesus? I would say a few. Pretty wonderful mystery that God has provided just for us. He's talking about a mystery. The truth that when Jesus returns from heaven for his church, he's talking about the believers that are still alive will have their bodies immediately, some people say transfigured, but transformed, okay, and made immortal. A new body. Hey, I wonder if I'll have hair, you know? Some of you that say, I've been dieting all my life. Well, here's the ultimate diet. A new body. Now, what's that going to look like? Do you think it's going to look like you are now? I don't know. I don't even want to guess. I would say, I hope not. But I think a transformed, transfigured body that is a spiritual body. A spiritual body. Perfect. Wow. What's that going to look like? But this is what God has in store for us. He says, you know what? Because your earthly body isn't fit for heaven. The imperishable has to cover the perishable. The mortal has to be clothed with the immortal. We're not made to fit into that position until we have a transfigured, transformed likeness. Paul believed, like all generations before us, that Jesus could come back for the faithful of his church during his time. That's been a few years ago. Hadn't happened yet. Was Paul mistaken? Was he wrong? Was he in error? Because he knew that Christ could come any time? No, he wasn't error. Because Christ said, no one knows the time. No one knows when he's going to come back. But he said, I will. I'm coming back. And here's what's going to happen when I do. That trumpet blast is going to sound. I don't know what that's going to sound like. Louder than my guitar, I'm sure. A trumpet blast is going to sound. I hope it's in tune. Nothing like an out-of-tune trumpet. Trumpet blast is going to sound. And wow, we're going to be transfigured in the blink of an eye and to go up to be with him. Bible says that no man knows the day or the hour. And we should also share that opinion. Why? Because it causes us, it motivates us. If we believe that, how am I living this second? Jesus, if I heard, boom, am I ready for that? Jesus' own words urge every believer to live as though it's the last hour and the hope that he could come at any minute. You can find that in Luke 12, 35 through 40. Of course, we got to ask ourselves an honest question. Am I ready? Now, if you know Jesus, you got a head start right off the bat. But if you don't know Jesus, that's called hopeless. Less hope. None. Nada. Zilch. Except for eternal separation. We've got to ask, am I anxiously awaiting for his return, or do I kind of hope, God, give me a little more time because things aren't quite worked out in my life? That's not a good place to be either. That's called treading water. That's just called hanging out. That's called trying to live both lives. And Jesus, that's not what I have planned for my church. Remember, he's not just coming for a church. There's plenty of buildings he can have if he wants, but I don't think he needs our help to build a building. He's coming back for the faithful of his church, and it's going to be unexpected when that happens. When you least expect, he's going to come, the Bible says, like a thief in the night. Never expect that. I remember once in my house in Missouri, where I'm from, old Victorian house, big windows. Of course, it's the U.S. We have big houses, okay, number one. This was a very big house, had 9 rooms. Yeah, it's big. And that was just on the 2 floors. It also had a full basement and attic. Okay? Not that I was rich. I got it cheap, actually, but I did a lot of work on it. Matt knows. But I remember one night laying in bed, hearing all, this was like 6, 5 in the morning, I don't know, real early. And wasn't it? And it was raining out, and I heard this crash and all this glass breaking. I'm like, not good. Your mind. Trying to What's it mean? You know, because you're half asleep, drool. And I remember I my first reaction was jump up and go downstairs. And say, wait a minute. Maybe not so smart, Rambo. Maybe they're, what's their motive? I mean, are they weird? Are they coming to kill people? Or are they just wanting stuff? Stuff's one thing, blood's another. So I'm at the top of the steps in my underwear, of course. And I'm like, So I turn around, you know, kind of like, let's rethink this here, hero, and walk back. And I heard more glass break, and I thought, this isn't good. Because I yelled, and they're still coming. You know, you're thinking, well, that didn't scare him much. That's not a good sign, usually. And then I didn't hear any more. And when I went downstairs, I found out the reason I heard multiple glass breaking was because they went through a window that was this big, you know. And they threw a rock the size of a large watermelon. And it was such a big rock that it left a gash in the wood floor and broke the leg off of a chair as it went across the room. That's how big that rock was. And really all they wanted was a part of my stereo that was in the window. And they took the part that didn't work. Thank you, Lord. They took the part that didn't work. And the multiple glass was because it kept falling because it was such a big window. And I didn't know that, of course. But I wasn't prepared for that. And I remember afterwards, Leslie said, you know, it's kind of hard to sleep now. Meaning like the next night and the next night, you know, you kind of wake up. You ever have that where you wake up with a jolt? And that's kind of what it was for a while because you become aware you're vulnerable. You don't have control over that. And Jesus said, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. You're not going to know when I'm going to show up. And when that trumpet blasts like that rock coming through the window, it's happening. It's out of your control at that point. You know, for some people, it's going to be a really happy hope, a joyful hope. And for others, it's going to be a nightmare when Jesus shows up. John 14, 2 through 4 says this. How do we know Jesus is coming back? Why? It says, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? Jesus says, would I lie to you about this? Why would I waste my words? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me that you may also be where I am. Here's the motive. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And the verse after that, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except by me. He said, that's how you know the way. I am the way. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus like that, he's the way. When that trumpet goes off and you don't know he's the way, and you haven't committed your heart to the way, and allowed him to be your Lord and Savior, when that's a nightmare for you. That's not a cool situation to be in. He's clearly here, Jesus talking about heaven. He's telling his disciples that what he was about to do on the cross and through his resurrection would allow them a place in heaven, and that he would personally come back to take them there. That's pretty cool. Jesus is going to take you to your place. Say, you like it? Like the colors? Comfy couch? I mean, you know? Jesus is going to be the one to take us. Just as sure as Jesus went to heaven, he will return from our Father's presence to take his followers to be with him. And isn't that what God's always wanted? To be reconnected with his children. Blood thicker than water. He said, no, my blood has been poured out for you. I desire to spend the rest of eternity with you. That's the way it's always meant to be. We're created in his image. The ultimate purpose of the Lord's return is for believers to be with him forever. When Jesus said, I'll be back, he was referring to what we call today the rapture. The rapture of the saints, when all believers will be caught up together in the air to meet with the Lord when he returns. That's when that trumpet sounds. And by doing this, God will reward the faithful by allowing us to escape something called the Great Tribulation or the Hour of Trial. Now, we're not going to talk about that. That's a lot. But there's a time coming, Jesus says, after that. And there's different people that say Jesus is coming before, Jesus is coming in the middle, Jesus is coming after it. I tend to believe, and there's a lot of evidence to believe, that he's going to get us out of here before that happens. Praise God. We're not going to be talking about what happens in the tribulation. It's not a good deal. But if we know Jesus, we're going to escape that. And he's going to meet, he's going to call us up as his victorious church at that time. By doing this, he's going to reward us to get out of that situation. Because we want to be here for that. So if we're living for him, and if he was about to return, as if he was going to come any minute, we have nothing to worry about. I don't know about you, but every now and then I have to do a little check. The Bible says, from time to time, examine yourself to see if you're in the right place in the faith. I think it's smart that we take inventory from time to time where we're at. We have nothing to worry about. We have only to rejoice in the fact that he means what he says and will not abandon us, and that his victory is complete. Period, over sin, over death, over the grave, period. 1 Thessalonians says this, 4:13-18. Brothers, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep, in other words, died, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. If you like graveyards and you're hanging out in one at that time, that's going to be an awesome scene. Wow. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. I hope this message today is an encouragement. Like I said, it can be a nightmare or it can be an encouragement, depending where you're at. So Jesus is coming back. The dead in Christ will be first resurrected, and at the same time we, the believers, will be transformed from the mortal to the immortal in the blink of an eye. And we'll be caught up in the air to be with him. And you know what? We're going to see people. I don't know about you, but I would love to meet Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie, tell me about what that was really like, the concentration camp. I mean, how can you really, unless you're there? Paul, you know, Saul to Paul, Damascus Road, Paul. Paul, let's talk. What about, do you have someone that you cared about that you lost? A grandmother, a grandfather, a father, a mother that you knew had Christ in their heart. The Bible says you're going to see him. And you're not going to see them the way you used to know them, sick, depressed, whatever. You're going to see them whole again. That's pretty cool. And you'll never be separated again because we're talking an eternity. You got a lot of time to hang out and eat taco chips and talk and drink lots of coffee. I hope there's coffee in heaven. Never thought of that till now, but I hope. You know, so we got all these perks, but we'll be removed from all the stress, all the persecution, all the oppression from the entire realm of sin and death, and it will prevent us from experiencing the coming wrath talked about in 1 Thessalonians 1 about the tribulation. So the truth that Jesus will soon return and take us out of this world to be with the Lord forever is our hope as a believer. We're created to do something now, but God says when it's time, here's what you can expect. The same kind of hope is not only an encouragement for us, but hey, think about it, for the terminally ill, for the destitute. What about, we saw how Pastor Nardakanyan or whatever, the Iranian guy, all the prayers was released from probable death for being persecuted for being a believer. People all around the world. I heard of, I wasn't there to see it, but I saw a news flash that said Christians in Egypt were even being crucified on trees outside of the palace. Can't be there to verify it, but I read it, assuming it could be true. But there are people all around the world that are suffering for the name of Jesus. And Jesus says, here's another perk. I'm going to deliver you from all that. It's over. Because of him, we are victorious. Not because you or I are good at anything enough, but because he is. And that makes us victorious because of his victory for our life. And not just for today, but tomorrow and until we hear that trumpet blast, until Jesus returns. In Mark 12, 32, it says this, but about that day or hour of Christ's return, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven know about this. It's a mystery. Only the Son, not the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. Because you do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned tasks. That's us. And tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. In other words, guys, serious. Watch how you live in your life. Are you sleeping? Are you just kind of, yeah, accept Christ? Where are you at? Do you know Jesus? Because this watching is turning into a nightmare if you don't. I'm not trying to put the spooks on you, but the point is this, and it's a truth we can't escape. There's a heaven and there's a hell. There is no kind of nice place in between, no trailer park in between to hang out for a while and fish. It's one or the other. And Jesus says, look, I'm giving you every opportunity, but you got to take it. And once you take it, I've given you a assigned task. Are you faithful? Are you doing something with your life? Are you sleeping? Because if so, you're going to miss out, because I'm going to come when you least expect it, because you're not paying attention. You're not watching. So stay alert. Stay sober and alert. Be convicted about your life. You know Jesus, and if you're living for him, then you have hope. Apart from him, hopeless. Revelation 3:11 says, I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have. Hold on to what you have. I'm coming soon. You say, yeah, well, Paul thought that. Look, he's dead. Jesus said, yeah, I know. You're thinking that. Every generation thinks the same. Good. You should. Because you need to be watching. Otherwise, you'll be asleep. You need to be prepared, because you won't know. But I'm telling you, he says, be ready, because I'm coming. I'm coming back. You know, we can play the fake believer or unbeliever thing. The Bible's clear. We must decide while we're still alive. Once the trumpet hits, decision's made. We don't get the chance. Hang on. Jesus, I'm changing my mind. He said, no, you already made up your mind. That was evident. Trumpet went. Time's up. Alarm went off. Thief came. Guess what? You got ripped off. Jesus said, I came that you wouldn't get ripped off. But you weren't listening. You didn't allow me. to be the one that I said I would be for you. There is no second chance when we stand before Him in heaven to give an account of our lives. He has something called the Lamb's Book of Life. And that lists all the names of those who have made Him their Lord and Savior and live their lives completely. And these are the ones that can enter the gate in His eternal rest, which is heaven. Revelation 21 says, in 27, nothing impure will enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus knows. And He's got it. And when that trumpet hits, Jesus says, your name? also says in Revelation 20, it says, if anyone's name was not found there in the book of life, he was thrown into a lake of fire. You know, here's the thing. Our God is all about forgiveness. He's all about grace and good stuff and love. But He's also a God of judgment. He is also a God of holiness. And nothing impure can enter the kingdom of heaven. That's why our bodies have to be exchanged from the mortal to the immortal, from the perishable to the imperishable. The only thing that purifies is that blood of the Lamb. Same Lamb in the book of life, Jesus. And this happens when we ask Him to come in, forgive us, and cleanse us, right? When we decide to make Him Lord alone and live for Him. He's full of grace. There's no problem with that. God's got grace for you. But it's just not cheap. It's just not cheap. God says, you're honest. I'm already honest. You're sincere. I'm already there for you. So He proved it already. Jesus did. He proved it already. Father, I thank You for this day and this time. Father, I just, Holy Spirit, by Your presence, when we ask ourselves, is our name written in that book of life? If not, Lord, would You convict our hearts that today might be the day that we would have our name written in there, because we would decide that when that trumpet sounds, we want to be those that will go up to meet You in the air. And to that place You prepared for us, that when You take us, that we would never be eternally separated from You. And we will have those glorified bodies, and we'll be able to see those people that we have loved that live for You and have died and gone on to be with You. And I believe Jesus wants you to know today, and some people here need to hear this, Jesus has time for you today. Jesus has time for you. Will you make time for Him? Today is the day He wants you to make a right decision. The decision that you need to make that will not only change your life now, but will also do it for an eternity. If you're afraid of Jesus, if you're afraid of His return, you don't have to be. Just make the right decision. Be cleansed. Follow Him. And Jesus says, it's for you. It's for you. I've done this for you. Doesn't matter what you've done, what you've been through, the doubts you had. Doesn't matter if you've cursed My name. Jesus says, if you will come to Me, admitting that you need Me, and that I did these things for you, and that I died for you in your place, and I paid your price, and I rose again, that you might also know that when that trumpet sounds, you could be resurrected to have eternal life as well. Not only that, but I will make your path straight today if you'll follow Me while you're alive on this earth. Jesus says, if you make that right decision, I will come in and I will be with you now and forever. And when that trumpet blows, I'm going to be smiling when I see your face. And no one is, you know, taking tabs here. But where are you in that? Where are you in that? The thief is going to come. Are you ready? If you If the Holy Spirit's doing something in your heart, don't deny that right now. Just respond. Do what's right. Just respond. Even if you've never done something right ever before, do it now. And do it right. By sticking your hand up and saying, I want that Jesus. Do it right now. If anyone's here like that, do it now. Stick your hand up. I want to know Jesus like that. I want to know Jesus. You don't need to look around. Deal with yourself. The Bible says examine. For the rest of us that are believers, assuming that we all are, the Bible says to hold on to what you have. Hold on to what you have. And some of us here today would say, you know, I've been kind of sharing my crown. The things I've been holding on to, I've kind of been releasing. Or maybe I'm kind of half asleep in the Lord. I'm not really watching. I can't really say that if the Lord came back, I really feel comfortable with that in my life. Then today, let's make some changes. Today, let's make some changes. Because He's going to come, and you're not going to be ready. And He says, you can be ready for me, but you got to watch. You can't be sleeping. You have a designated task I have for you. Be my servant, because I'm already your Lord. I have prepared that place for you. Don't forfeit it. Hold on to what you have. Hold on to what you have. Some of us here today need to pray about that. About situations in our life that we know it's not quite ready. Not quite ready. But we want to change that. We don't want to be caught sleeping. If that's you, I want you to stand. We're going to pray together as a group. Just stand right where you're at. Don't let shame trick you and lie to you. Don't let your pride get in the way. It's a big problem. Be honest. Be honest with Jesus. He knows your heart. And He's looking for your response. Just stand right where you're at. We're going to pray together. To Jesus. Holy Spirit, don't let our hearts get numb. Holy Spirit, don't let pride overwhelm our sensibility in you. Holy Spirit, show us the things in our life. You already know them. And we do too. But Lord, let us not run, but let us stand and take responsibility and say, but Lord, I want to, can you help me with this, Lord? I want it to change. Show me, Lord. I want to be those that are watching. I want to be those that aren't sleeping. I want to be alert, self-controlled. I want to hear that trumpet, and I don't want to be in cowering fear. I want to say, yes, that's my joyful hope. He's come for me. Father, just lift your hands to heaven. Father, we thank you that you promised to come back. You didn't abandon us here like on some island. But you said you're coming back for us. You went to prepare that place for us, and you're going to come back for your faithful believers, your church, and you're going to take us to be with you. But God, we want to be ready, Father. There are things in our life that we haven't been holding on to tight enough, and we've been sharing our crown. And Lord, we want to be those that aren't sleeping. We don't want to be lulled away into some kind of stupor that keeps us from you, that we hear that trumpet and we don't run and hide, but we jump and say, it's Jesus. And you come for me. And today we want to hear that trumpet. We want to be ready and waiting and watching. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Those of you that are standing, you know, repentance covers a lot. if you would just begin to tell him the things you already know and begin to thank him and begin to ask him to forgive and to help you to be stronger, to not to sleep, to be watching, to be faithful in the assigned tasks he's given you. Just do that now. Father, we thank you, Jesus, that you're coming back for your clean bride. And when that trumpet goes off, we want to be ready. Thank you, Father, for the blessed hope. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the good things you prepared for us. And it just doesn't quit. Let us be the faithful one. Father, let us be ready to stand for you, to hear that trumpet, and to respond. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, constantly strengthen us for the walk. Constantly empower us to be victorious over situations in our life. To look for the greater hope that we find in you in all things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for providing the way for us. Oh God, we can't repay you, but we can certainly love you and live for you. Thank you for it, Jesus. We choose that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.